listening to the Novel Universe Podcast, a monthly YA lit podcast hosted by Dawn Abrin and Elise Martinez, YA librarians from the Chicagoland area. Each episode features reviews and rants on new and upcoming YA books. We are here to help you navigate your TBR pile, what's good, what's bad, and everything in between. I'm Elise, the rejecter of romance.
And I'm Dawn, the criticizer of books.
So turn up the volume, here we go. Welcome back to the Novel Universe Podcast. This week we are going to be talking about our June TBR, which I expected to be reading more in June, but apparently
no,
I'm not.
Summer is a slow publishing month. It's May where all the books are.
Yeah, I was like, dang, May was hot. All right, so we're going to jump right in with our cold open, but first I just want to give you guys a reminder that if you do listen to our podcast, you should subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We are also on Spotify, and soon, hopefully crossing fingers, we will be available on Google Play. But for now, you can go to either Spotify or Apple Podcasts to follow us and subscribe. All right. Today's cold open is the opposite of what we did in our last episode, which was where we went through from 2012 to present day and did our worst rated books. So today we're going to do our best rated from 2012 to now.
Okay.
I'll let you kick it off.
All right, so I was still in the youth department in 2012, so I really wasn't quite reading YA. I was still kind of reading middle grade, but that doesn't mean anything to my first selection, which was Harry Potter. I had not read Harry Potter, but there was a librarian who loved Harry Potter, and everybody who worked in the youth department, she, like, really wants you to read them. So I was like, fine, I will read it, and I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my 2012.
That's a good one. Yeah, I had a similar experience. I used to also work in the same department, and she evangelized. She was an HP evangelizer.
Yeah.
All right, so my 2012 pick was Catching Fire, which is book two in the Hunger Games series, because this is the only YA book that I had. I was not reading YA until
I started.
You gave
that a five?
Yes, I did.
So I love how you gave that a five, but gave Mockingjay a two.
No. I originally gave Mockingjay a three.
But then you said you would rate it lower.
But I would rate it lower because of how it ended. However, I remember really freaking loving Catching Fire. It was my favorite book. That whole plot twist in the middle was like, what? I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that I would probably keep that rating. But now that I say that out loud, I don't think that's true. I'm going to change that to a no. Because, again, hindsight, I know how the series ends. So that would probably make it not as great in my mind. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's how I feel.
I guess so. All right. 2013 was Dream Thieves by Maggie Stiefvater. I love this book. And Raven Boys, I think I gave that a 3. But then I read Dream Thieves, and I originally gave it a 3. But then I went back and reread it, which I never do. I hardly ever reread books. And so when I did, I gave it a 5. It was great. And it's still probably in my top 10 best YA of the last 10 years. She has Ronin. So her next book is Ronin's POV Only. So I'm excited about that. I don't like the cover, but
yeah.
Hopefully the whole book will be an ALA. I think it might be only an excerpt. I don't know. But, yeah, if you have not read Raven Boys, get on it, because those are great books.
I have no comment on that one.
Okay.
That's another one where I didn't like the series ending, but a lot of people did. I'm in the minority. Okay, so my 2013 pick is The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. I originally rated this a 5-star, but I know for sure I would not rate it that today. I cannot stand him. I have an immediate bias against anyone that's, like, really famous or really popular. And he just, like, around that time, 2013, 2014, he was just insanely popular. And, like, I feel like everybody was talking about him all the time and blah, 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 blah. And, like, good for him. His success is great. I am not demeaning that to him as a person. I just, for me, I don't enjoy the types of books that he normally reads and or writes, rather, not reads. I tend to think he's a little bit overrated. He kind of reminds me, I call him the, this may be an unfair comparison, but he is the YA David Foster Wallace. Just gonna let that sit. So I would probably not rate that a 5-star.
Okay. I don't even remember seeing that on my list. And I love The Fault in Our Stars. I didn't read the last 50 pages. It was too sad.
Oh, it was
very sad. I just cut it. It was very sad. I still haven't seen the movie because I don't need that grief in my life. 2014, this was a tough one to pick, but I chose Winner's Curse. And I think I chose it because I have a fun story. Hopefully you chose the other one.
I did not choose any books in that series because I...
No. A different book that I chose, but I'm not going to say. So anyway, I chose A Winner's Curse. We get a box of ARCs from Baker & Taylor, and I don't even think this had a cover on it.
No, it didn't.
And I read the description. I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. So I'm reading it, and I'm reading it. And if you've read the book, you know the climax is somewhere beginning, middle. And it's right where they're in the carriage together, and he drops the bomb on her, and my fucking arc skips 50 pages. 50 pages.
I forgot about that.
Oh, I immediately tweeted the publisher. I was like, oh my God, my arc just skipped. So the climax happens. He's about to drop the bomb, and then the next page is just like, and I'm like, what happened? I was so upset. So I had to wait a couple days, and the publisher did eventually send me the correct book, but... Yes, arcs do have mistakes, yeah, and that one had a huge one.
Mm-hmm. I've always looked for that. Ever since you told me that story, I'm like, I want an arc that's, like, missing a whole chapter. Like, I don't know how you would notice, but that was a very obvious moment to, like, miss the subsequent information. I did not pick... Okay, now that I know what you're talking about, I did not pick that book. Because
what
I wanted
book?
To... Were you referencing Kiss of Deception?
Yes.
Yeah,
you
I'm sorry.
Pick it?
No, because I know I would rate it the same.
Okay.
So I guess I'll just say that. But, like... I ended up choosing Point by Brandi Colbert. This was, like, I think her first book.
I don't know. Maybe.
It was a while back. It's about a girl who suffers from anorexia. She kind of throws herself into her ballet life because she's also dealing with the potential murder of her best friend / childhood best friend. I, at the time, thought the plot was very interesting. I thought that the way that she portrayed anorexia was really interesting. However, I don't enjoy reading realistic fiction, and having flipped through the book more recently, I don't think I would give it a 5 stars. Like, I rated it a flat 5.
Wow.
I don't do that very often anymore.
Yeah.
I was very generous with my ratings because, again, I was still in the discovery mode of YA. So, I'm going to say no on that one.
I would say yes on Winner's Curse. That was great. 2015, I did The Bone Gap. By Laura Ruby.
Yeah.
If you have not read that,
that's a really good book.
You need to read that right now. It's really good. It's magical realism, so it's a little weird. Some people didn't get it, and there was one chapter that I knew that it was like the pivotal chapter, but I couldn't understand what she was trying to say. So I literally, the chapter heading was called Charlie. I literally read that chapter 15 times because I'm like, this is an important chapter. I don't quite understand. I think I know what's going on, so much so that I tweeted her and was like, am I on the right track? And she was like, yes. So I was like, okay, cool. Actually, I was wrong, but I was close. I was in the neighborhood.
You were in the periphery.
Yes. So yeah, Bone Gap is great if you haven't read it.
That's one I need to reread.
Yeah,
now that you said that, I'm like, interesting. Okay. My 2015 is A Court of Thorns and Roses. By Sarah J. Maas.
You gave that a 5?
Exactly. This is why we're here today, ladies and gentlemen. I loved that book because I was in that phase of my life, I guess. I don't know. I gave this a flat 5, and long story short, no. I would not give this a 5
long story
today.
Short, no.
And especially because she doesn't even end up with Tamlin. Like, she sets up this like, conflict / love and... Obviously, I haven't read the rest of the series, but I know what happens because it's extremely popular. So no, I would not give that a 5-star.
I love how all of the books you're choosing, you're like not gonna.
Well,
but all books I'm choosing, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna keep it the same.
My next two are yeses.
Okay, I just found that really ironic.
I think I was intentionally choosing books that I knew I would change.
I wasn't. I don't know why I chose the books I chose. Well, I chose books that I gave a solid 5, but sometimes I give a book a 4.5 and I bump it up to a 5, and I clicked on it, I was like, oh, it's a 4.5, I can't use that one.
Exactly. I try to do solid 5s,
because
I'm like, I don't give those anymore.
Yeah. Okay, 2016, this was a tough year, because there were several. So I ended up going with The Sun is Also a Star by Nicola Yoon. I did not like Everything, Everything, and so I gave her another shot, but... I haven't seen the movie. I don't know if I want to see it because I love the book so much. I'm scared the movie's going to be garbage. But, oh my God, this book was just so sad, but it was just so great. And it's a great book. It's a great discussion book if you have a teen book club or a young adult and you're an adult book club or any age. I think it's just a really great book. So I would totally rate it even. I would rate it even higher if I could. I've been trying to get Elise to read it, but she won't.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's too far gone now.
I am a horrible book friend. Don't give me a book recommendation.
That's the title of the
podcast. I love when I say the title. All right. My 2016, this was also very difficult for me. I went back and forth between like five different books. I ended up choosing The Gilded Cage by Vic James.
Yeah. Oof, but right? I didn't give that a solid five, I don't think. That's why I didn't choose it.
I did. And I would keep this as a solid five because this book has a lot in it. I feel like especially nowadays, and this book has massively sailed under the radar. I don't think that they did themselves any service by, like, marketing this to teens, unfortunately. Not that a teen can't handle it or understand it. It's just written in a way that is really in-depth and really mature. And this is another one. Like, you mentioned that yours was a good book club pick. I think this one is, too, if you have, like, an older teen book club, like a high school book club or something, because it goes into, like, politics. You know, Buddha's chapters are, like, a female competing in a men's world. And, like, things to talk about are really, really intense in this book. So I would keep this as a five. This is another one I eventually want to reread. I haven't finished the series. I didn't read the last book because some things were said about it that I...
Some things meaning,
you know,
me.
Well, I didn't want to, like, throw you under the bus there, but, you know.
That's okay. I'll throw myself under there.
Technically, like I trust Dawn's reading opinion, so if she says the last book in the series sucks, I already don't want to read the last book because of the Raven
voice.
That's
why I try not to say anything, and you always ask me, how was it?
Because I'm like, oh God, I have to know. So yeah, that's my 2016.
2017, I chose The Thunderhead by Neil Schusterman. Scythe is book one, so this is book two. Scythe is book one, and I was kind of about book one, even though it won a Prince Honor. But Thunderhead was fantastic, and the third one comes out this year, and I'm hoping, I don't think they're going to have arcs, but I'm going to try and get one if they do. It is... Well, Thunderhead, what made it great is that Schusterman does something that I think very many authors are afraid to do in their books. And I won't say, obviously, because this is a spoiler, but I'm really excited to see where he's going to take this third book.
You can't give a hint of what that is? Not even a...
Nope.
It's a plot device?
Nope.
Or, okay. Dang
it. I can't. You gotta read by yourself.
Indeed. All right, my 2017 pick... I didn't really know what to pick for this one. I didn't have a ton of fives. So this one was The Carnival at Bray by Jesse Ann Foley. I read this one only because it won the Prince the previous year.
I think it was an honor.
Was it an honor?
Yeah.
It was involved with the Prince somehow in the 2016 awards. And she was coming to our library to speak to our teens. And ended up really liking this book. Again, I don't really like realistic fiction usually that much. I have a hard time, like really gleaning meaning from someone else's random experiences. But for some reason, this book, like, touched on a lot of things that while I hadn't experienced personally, I had felt, if that makes any sense. So I thought that she wrote emotion really well in this book. She wrote grief really well in this book. Self-discovery. And so I am going to say that, yes, I would maintain this as a 5-star. Technically, I gave this one a 4.75, but we're going to just run with it.
Okay. 2018, I gave it to Sadie. 2018, did I have some books that were... I think that was that year where it was like I wasn't giving any fives, and then I read this in June because I was meeting her at ALA that year, and it was like, oh, five, I got my first five of the year. I would totally give it a five again. It was... not what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Really dark.
Yeah.
Really dark. But necessary. And important.
Necessary, yeah.
And contemporary. And all the things. So, if you like dark. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd call it. It's not. I mean, technically it's a mystery, but.
Oh, it's
a thriller. It's like a.
It's
I don't know.
Dark,
it's a lot of things.
It's a dark feminist psychological thriller.
There you go.
So, if that's your jam, run with it.
There you go.
Yesterday, we had a teen come in our teen room to get a book, and we knew that she was in sixth grade. We didn't see what book she chose until she walked out, and all we saw was, like, the last three letters of, like, the author's first and last name. We're like, oh, no.
Well, that poor thing's going to learn some new things about life.
Yeah, but it's a good book. All right, 2018 for me was Fury Born by
Claire
LeGrand. Thank you. I'm currently reading book two. It's on my desk. I gave this book a 5 because I was really craving a solid fantasy trilogy. And I think we got that with the first installment. The reason I'm going to say I'm not going to give it a 5 if I read it again is because book two is really Strugs to Funk. I'm Strugs to Funk with this book.
Oh, I know. Have I read it?
I have picked it up and put it down.
Oh, no.
3 times now. And it doesn't have that same cohesion that it did in the first volume.
No, it doesn't.
And I'm really disappointed because it's weird. It's like the story is still heading somewhere, mm-hmm. but something is not holding things together like it was in the first book. So is that fair?
I don't think it's fair. Like, okay. I rate books independent of themselves. So if I hated the first book, I have no problem giving the second book mm-hmm. a 5 and then the third book. This happens with me a lot with Marie Lu books. Mm-hmm. Like, I will hate the first book, love the second book, and hate the third book. She seems to do really well with book twos for some reason. Mm-hmm. So some authors, like, their book two, just it's like they grew from their first book, and their second book is usually great. And then they're, like, tired of it. And third book is just, like, garbage. I don't know, but, yeah.
Hello, I can selection studies.
I know. Most deaf.
That
I know.
The perfect example of that. Yeah, I know that's not really fair. For me, like, the game changer was the Raven Boys series. Again, it seems to be the theme of this intro. But I loved all of those books. And then the last one was so bad that it pissed me off to such a degree that because I guess I'm rating based on reread potential. If it's a 5, I'm probably going to reread it at some point in my life. Mm-hmm. And if the last book ruins it for me, there goes that chance of rereading it and enjoying it all over again. Yeah. Because I'm just going to be more upset. So
I get that with the Raven Boys because the whole book is contingent on him finding Glendower. And then when it happens, it's like, really, that's it?
Oh.
I can understand that. Yeah. But I didn't want, I love this series so much, I didn't let myself be that angry. So I was like, but my half glass full self, but this character was great. I love the romance. Yeah. And so I try to just kind of block out the whole Glendower thing, even though that was the whole point mm-hmm. of the entire series.
Yeah, there was other stuff there. There was other stuff there to carry it through.
Yeah. So we didn't do 2019, one, because I haven't given any 5s.
I haven't either.
I've given a couple 4.5s,
yep.
But I haven't given any 5s. So, and I'm not going to say, because we haven't, those books are in later podcasts.
Right.
We haven't even talked about them yet.
So we always do like a best of the year, worst of the year, so we will have that later in the year.
Yep.
And on to the main event today, which is again our June TBR.
I only have 2.
Me too.
But I have to read 6 books a month, so I have to find 4 more books. I'm trying, so my goal is 72 books a year, and I have parceled them out 6 books a month to kind of keep me, so by December I'm not, like, struggling. So, yeah, I don't know what
I'm reading ahead.
Well, yeah, I have to start reading ahead.
Yeah. But that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. I don't like that because then I feel fake when I do these podcasts. I'm like, I'm going to read blah de blah. I've already read it. You know, I hate that. But, oh, well.
Gotta play along. That's how it goes.
All right. So I think we have the same books.
We do.
So
we discovered. Yes.
Yeah. The first one is Sorcery of Thorns by Margaret. Is it Rogerson?
I think it's Rogerson.
Rogerson. I heard someone say Rogerson. Maybe she was just a foreigner. I don't know. I did not like Enchantment of Ravens. I did a webinar and I was the host and I introduced all the authors and their books. And as I was practicing, I accidentally said Enchantment of Raisins. And I was like, okay, Dawn, do not do this when you go speak to thousands of people. And my ass said Enchantment of Raisins live. It was awful.
As a listener, I didn't notice, but to this day, I hear it in my head.
Yes.
Once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
No. Okay, so this is, I'm on like chapter 4 right now, So, but try my best to describe what's happening. So there's a girl, she's an orphan, and she lives in a library. Yeah. She's a librarian's apprentice. And her job, which is, I've never read anything like this before, is to capture these books called grimoires. Grimoires. Yeah. So are people's souls trapped in there?
That's what I'm assuming. It's like a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Harry Potter monster in like book four or the third book where that monster, so people's souls are trapped in there. And if something happens, they can get out and like kill everything. And so she gets accused of letting one out. And so she kind of has to run away with the magistrate or something like that. So I'm a little scared. Like, so far I like it, but I'm a little scared because Enchantment of Ravens was similar to that, where she had to escape with a guy and it was a journey book. This book is hella long. If I have to be on the road with these fuckers for 500 pages and it's not good, I am not going to be happy, because this was the problem with her first book.
I'm currently reading two books where that's what's happening. Oh, and my God. Not liking it. So, you know, hopefully, okay, because I think of like the reader, they're kind of traveling the entire series. Yes. But there's stuff happening. She pulls other things into the plot, and it was good. So that's a tough plot to maintain for 500 pages.
I would even choose Kiss of Deception, where she's literally traveling with the set, and she ends up. It's like a love connection, but things are happening, and she's developing a relationship. Travel books are hard.
You have to make the dialogue interesting. You have to make the characters revelation.
Even what's her second book called?
Who's
Mary Pearson, because it's a travel book too.
The Dance of Thieves.
Yeah, that's a travel book too. Right. She's really good at that.
Yeah,
and
she is.
So, yeah. So, like I said, she's been accused so far, but she hasn't gone on the road yet. So, like I said, that's where Enchantment of Raisins fell apart. So, hopefully she doesn't screw the pooch on this one.
So, your prediction is the...
Based what I've read so far, I'm going to give it 4.5. I really like it so far. I have never read anything about it. Would you call it a grimoire? I've never read anything like this before. I know other people have, but this is new to me, which I like something new. Mm-hmm. I like the main character. I like the darkness of it. But 4.5. I'm going to go high, guys.
I have high hopes. Okay, so I took the opposite road.
Oh, no. Okay.
I was sent this book by Simon & Schuster a few months ago, and when I looked it up, I was like, oh, this is the Enchantment of Ravens author. That book got a lot of, like, you either love it or you either hate it. And when I was reading the Goodreads reviews for this book to try to give myself some context about what people are feeling about it, people are saying that they like it better because Enchantment of Ravens was a flat-up romance, and this is not.
Okay.
There is a romance, but it doesn't take the main seat.
That's good.
So I was like, great, I'm in. I don't mind if there's a romance in there, but this is not, I don't want this to be the entire story. Mm-hmm. So, up a star.
Okay.
For me. I also really, really liked anytime that a book takes place with books or with reading or within a library, like, I'm already invested and interested in it, and I find that really interesting. Sounds fun to read about. So that's my prediction. However, the journey. So because of the journey, I'm saying that I'm going to give it 3.5.
Okay.
Because it's right in the middle of the road. It's a safe bet. But I'm hoping to be proven wrong. So, yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Book two.
Second book. I can do the plot synopsis for this one. If my phone behaves. All right. So this is a Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Rebay. This is a realistic fiction coming-of-age novel about a guy named Jay, and he is Filipino. Half of his family most of his family live in the Philippines. He and his family live in the United States, and he's kind of disconnected from them. He's grown apart from them over the years when he finds out that his cousin June has been murdered because of the Filipino president Duterte's war on drugs. So he's confused. He never really got that vibe from his cousin that he would be involved in the drug world or even, you know, anything like that. And so he becomes inspired to go to the Philippines to basically do his own, like, mystery solving about why his cousin was killed. I'll let you give your thoughts.
Okay, so I've already read it.
Yes.
If I had not have read it, I would have predicted 4. Simply because of the hype.
There's a lot of hype.
I am the type of person, I read the hype. If it's hypey, I'm going to read it. I have told this to Elise. I suffer from FOMO, fear of missing out. I have book FOMO. And so if something's hypey, I'm going to read it. I don't care what it's about. I don't care who the author is. I'm just going to read it. So based on that, I would just say a 4. But you're going to have to
check into our next month's podcast.
Find out what I liked or didn't like.
So my prediction is also 4 stars. You brought up a good point about, like, you had to suspend your belief that a parent knowing that their relatives, that their nephew basically was killed, would let their own son go to the Philippines.
Especially when they're clearly depressed about it.
Right.
And the next day they're like, oh, I need to go. But you're like, but you're not going to investigate, are you? No. Come on.
Yeah. And does this book take place in current time or is this older?
No.
Is he still president?
Yes.
Okay.
It's current.
So I thought this was I didn't think it was like in the 80s or anything like that, but I thought it was a few years back because I've heard his name before.
Oh, Duarte? He was something else. He said something funny. Somebody put, this is like totally off the script, but somebody found an old interview with him and he goes, I used to be gay, but then I cured myself.
Oh, well, there you go right there.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. So sorry, like, sending my child into that political, like, political, like, arena would be a little bit nerve-inducing. Yeah. However, I will just say this, is that I spent the formative years of my life going to a 98% Korean church, and I grew up around a lot of Korean and Asian teens. And it is very common practice for their parents or relatives to just send them back to, like, Korea or Japan or wherever they're from to like, spend significant amount of time there. So they'll go, like, for the majority of the summer or over Christmas, just like all the time. So it was something I was familiar with and know that they do. But again, none of these teens, as far as I know, had cousins that were being murdered by their government.
Yeah.
So I guess my prediction originally was that he wasn't actually murdered by President Duarte's regime, and therefore his relatives knew that and worked something out. That's my prediction. I know you've read the book. You don't have to say anything, but going forward, that's kind of the assumption that I'm going to work under.
Cool.
So, all right. So that is it for June for us. We'd love to know what you're reading. You can tweet us on Twitter.
Tweet us
on Twitter. You guys, it's been a long day. And again, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or over on Spotify. And we will see you guys in the next podcast.